The good news is I found him. I found Trevor Winkworth. He's the CEO of In Hand Guides, and I have tied him down here at a table. I think he's got tea in front of him, Trevor, is that right?
That's right, Paul.
Now look, you hit the headlines during the week. I came across it first on Silicon Republic on the website. The news that your company, In Hand Guides, had been got backing from a venture capital group called Kernel Capital, but also Enterprise Ireland, right? So you've got €400,000 from them, right? I don't want to talk to you about that, but I want to address my curiosity about who the hell are you? Where did you get this idea for In Hand Guides? And let's start with, what on earth were you doing before you started In Hand Guides? Did you start and fail with about five other companies before that? Tell us the backstory. Come on.
I wish I had, Paul. Then I'd learned a few lessons.
Yes.
I was working for Baxter Healthcare before In Hand Guides, and I was an international business manager. So I was traveling around the Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe, all the way over to Russia.
And I was out of Cork. Like you grew up in Cork.
I'm Dublin.
You're a Dublin guy.
Westmead, Dublin. I went to school in Dublin, stayed in Dublin, and I was working actually in the UK when I relocated back to Cork.
In which year?
About 1999.
Okay, right.
And I set up, I was working for Baxter Healthcare because at the time in the UK, I said, why am I doing this in the UK? And they said, look, as long as you're beside an airport, you get on a plane and you do your work. So I worked from home in Cork, having relocated in 1999, and around 2004, I had the mistake of coming out of Saudi Arabia, sitting down in nice business class. I used to travel business class then. Now I'm economy to China next Monday.
Baxter were a very profitable company, making money. Yeah.
Despite the investment, I'm going to China next Monday on economy. I'm not complaining, that's life.
Proper order, go on.
But I sat down in business class. I was having a beer, I have to admit, because if you've been in Saudi Arabia for a week, you'd like to have a beer.
Right. Do you remember what kind of beer? Says he being very beerish.
Can't remember, no.
Okay, go on.
But this guy sat down with me beside me in business class, and we recognized accents, and he said, you're obviously Irish. I said, I am. I introduced myself. I work for Baxter Healthcare. He introduced himself as an Irishman from Dublin who was a civil servant. Now you can hang civil.
What are Irish civil servants
exactly
doing flying business class out of Saudi Arabia?
Because he wasn't working for the Irish government.
Ah, go on.
He was, and he's now a director of the company, so I'll be able to tell the full story. It turned out his name was Leo Callow. Leo Callow, MBE, was actually a lieutenant colonel for the Royal Irish in Belfast. And he was
Belfast accent?
No, Dublin born, true and true. Boy soldier from Dublin. He worked his way up to be in charge of his regiment in the north. Heavily involved in the peace agreement, which is where he's got a lot of his honours. And
Leo, he a behind the scene person like that wouldn't be
he's
in the
behind,
public
you
domain.
Wouldn't,
you wouldn't know
never
about
seen
his role
him
at all.
But yeah, he would have basically dragged heads together and knocked them together. Heavily involved. Yeah. Leo's Christmas card list, when I remember going to his house, is Tony Blair, our president, Mary McAleese.
Oh, right.
Everybody's there.
Yeah, right. So there would be people
behind
like that who none of the rest of us would have heard
never
about
heard
behind
of,
the scenes.
Yeah. One of those unsung heroes of the peace agreement, because that was his job. You can have your job and do it. So Leo happened to be doing some civil servant work, for want of a better word, in the Middle East. Showed me a crude device that the US were using to bolster their troops.
Internal US Army stuff.
Yeah. And it was just bought in. And it was called I actually have it still on my table. And
was this a morale booster?
A morale booster.
A bit like the troops in the trenches
to something. Well, actually, funny you should say that, because one of the lines which I remember clearly was that God is with you, God is on your side. So, you know, a very strong morale booster.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
And this guy's saying how God will be in your foxhole with you. I don't know what you're...
Yeah.
And look, each to their own.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this crude little device he showed, he said, isn't this a great little idea? And I said, it is. And by the end of the flight, my brain was rushing. So if we take it forward about 6 months later, I was in a position to take...
In 2005 now?
Yeah, into 2005.
Right.
I was in a position to take a voluntary redundancy package from Baxter. And I had Leo's phone number and his name. Actually, Calla would be well known because they owned garages around Dublin back in the 50s and 60s. So I actually knew his name straight away.
Right.
And I said, I contacted him and said, where can I... I tracked down the guys who made those devices.
You did? You track
I tracked them down.
Were they in China?
No, they were made in China by another company.
Right.
And I found out that they were only interested in using this device for religious promotion.
Right.
And I asked them, in cut a long story short, to would they develop the product for me? And the answer was no. They didn't see any reason to improve it because it was a speaker, it was quite poor controls, it only had 19 minutes of audio. So I had them produce product for me. My very first product was a tour guide to Dublin, Cork and Galway in 20 minutes.
And where did you go to speak to these people? Did you go to America
did all
to
on
speak
the phone.
To them?
Did it all on the phone.
On the phone. On not Skype?
No, just...
Ordinary telephone.
Tracked them down the old telephone.
Right, right.
And I got them... I paid them to produce Dublin in 20 minutes, Cork in 20 minutes, and Galway, which we audited, wrote, and designed.
And who wrote the audio? Who wrote the
script? I did
script?
Everything.
You did everything?
Everything.
Did you do
I
the
did
audio
it
yourself?
I found a guy called Connor Talent to do the audio.
How'd you find him?
Again, asked around, I was told this guy does voiceovers for 96FM. And since then, Connor is my bedrock for voiceover. Connor set up his own business himself. I'm his biggest customer. So Connor Talon Limited is the man. And just forged a relationship with Connor. And what I found was the product...
Did you meet face-to-face and have cups of coffee or tea, or did you...
Connor, I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
The product was the right idea, but was not good enough. It had no headset. It only had 19 minutes. It had poor audio. And when I looked into it, I realized that we needed a better product. I offered to the company to say, I need X, Y, and Z done to it. They said, we're not interested. I did a bit of research and found that I wasn't stealing any IP. They didn't have patenting or IP on the product. And what I wanted was quite different. I got on to Enterprise Ireland. I asked around and said,
How did you know who to talk to in Enterprise Ireland?
Just asked various people and said, where do I start? What do I do?
Yeah.
And somebody said to me, try innovation vouchers.
Now, up until this, you'd been an employee, right? You weren't
yeah
an entrepreneur, a guy
nope
who'd done... So you were doing your first
startup. Was my first own startup. I was lucky in that in my job in Baxter Healthcare, when you're going around the world, you do 29 different things. I was doing sales, logistics, pricing, selling, managing. So you do, you know, I'm in Algeria on my own with the local agent, and I'm in Saudi. So you learn to do a lot of things. You know, you learn that if you want to sit in the hotel and do nothing, you won't have a job. So you get out and do things. So the interesting thing, I found out about innovation vouchers and what that was, like a 5,000 euro. It's a great idea. It's like a Tesco voucher for Enterprise Ireland. You apply for it if you have an idea. My idea was I would like this device redesigned to have a headset to hold more audio, to have better functionality, to have better audio sound. Out of that, you link up to the colleges. I was introduced to Kieran Delaney, head of Nimbus in Cork Institute of Technology. At that time, they were in the back end of CIT in two rooms. They're now in a brand new modern centre with 40 postgrads and expanding rapidly.
Are we 2005 still?
2006-ish,
2006,
late 2006.
Right.
Said to Kieran, can you help me out with this? They said, you've come to the right people.
Did you know him before?
Nope.
Did you just ring him up?
Just rang him up and said, can I come and meet you? I have it's like a Tesco voucher. I have a voucher for 5,000 euro worth of research, prepaid. What can you do for 5,000 grand?
Great. Yeah.
They said we'll look at this. They spent, and you learn lessons. It was a bit slow, but we got a prototype out of that, which had a headset, which had better audio quality. They've written it up as a research project. And in 2007, I asked around again and said, I got to go to China. What do I do? Onto
had
the
you
internet.
Been to China before?
Never been to China. I got onto the internet.
And you found that Apple were in Shenzhen and you went to Shenzhen?
No, it was nearly that. I went on to Global Sourcing and Alibaba.com, the sourcing website. Somebody said, look at these.
My brother buys from Alibaba.com. Yeah. Go on.
Well, if you go in as a producer, I put in and I started looking at MP3 factories.
Yes.
Because I thought, this is close to what I want. And that was a mistake because within sent out a sourcing email and next thing I had 120 factories chasing me. And people who don't speak English do speak English were offering me all sorts of strange things on the internet. My wife thought...
This is Chinese. These are Chinese people.
Chinese people.
Right, and they get emails out of China, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, out a source. So next thing I'm being offered everything I don't want and all the things I do want. So I said, I can't deal with 120 factories. Plus it was, because they all use English names, I had like emails coming in like, Lucy Liu would like to talk to you. So my wife thought I was running a porn site at one stage. And what I did then was I asked around again and I was advised to talk to, I was told there was a managing director in China who worked for an Irish Taiwanese electronics company, a lovely guy called Wallace Heit. I rang Wallace and said, Wallace, could you help me in sourcing in China?
Where was Wallace?
Wallace based in Shenzhen.
In Shenzhen, right.
He worked for an electronics company who have now... They're still operating, but the business is more or less gone. And Wallace said, sure. So next thing, I hopped on a plane and went to see Wallace.
Did you have to get visas and things like that?
You need a visa for China.
Was that easy or difficult?
It shouldn't be difficult, but it isn't difficult to get the visa. But what you do need to do is, it's a pain in the ass because you've got to go to Dublin to the Chinese embassy. Or arrange a courier. You got to give in your passport. You have to have a letter in writing from China of invitation, which I got from Wallace.
In Chinese or in English?
In English. But it must be stamped with the company name. And because I wanted a multiple visa. And your passport goes in and it's stuck with them for 4 days. Now, I, because of my travel before, know that you can have two passports with permission from the Foreign Office in Ireland. Because... you can't have one passport stuck in the embassy.
But I didn't know you could have two.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, right. I have two passports for business purposes.
Right.
Because, for example, Saudi Arabia, I don't go to them, but they would require your passport for 4 or 5 days again.
Right.
So I have two passports. And obviously, if you're in the Middle East, you can't go to Israel if you've got Saudi and Lebanon on your passport.
I know.
So
you have two passports.
I have two passports. So got the visa from the Chinese, and I now get a rolling 1 year visa. But even today in business.
And you're doing all this by yourself. You don't have anybody who you see as a partner other than your wife. Is your wife
Leo
supportive?
My wife is extremely supportive.
Does she think you're mad?
No, she's extremely supportive.
Right? Okay.
Does think I'm mad as well.
Yeah.
Leo couldn't help me because he was still Lieutenant Colonel in the British Army.
Right.
Since then, he has now finished his commission, is a director of the company and a shareholder. And is actively working with us as a marketing and management guy. But to finish off the story, met Wallace, lovely guy. Wallace is now a paid consultant for us and actually has helped. We've just set up a trading company in Hong Kong to help with the issues we have with banking and dollars in Ireland. And Wallace is a director of In-Hand Guides Hong Kong, which was set up this year for trading purposes.
Was that easy, by the way, without going into the details, was it easy to set up a trading company in Hong Kong?
It is if you find the right person to help you do it. So Wallace straight away goes to a business company in China who set them up in 2 days.
Right, okay.
And now we've banking. I'm in China next week setting up banking. So all product in China is bought in US dollars. So as we expand, all our business in US dollars will head straight to China and to Hong Kong and straight into China and payments. And that'll remove... We lose at the moment about 5,000 euro a year in foreign exchange, and we're a small company.
Yeah.
But to finish off the story, Wallace helped me. We spent a week in China. We cut down the 120 emails to about 10 factories.
Did you then walk the streets?
We literally went out in taxis to these factories, met people. The tricks they get up to are hilarious. We had people who pretended they owned factories and didn't. And one of the lessons Wallace tipped me off was, I'm using Irish names now instead of Chinese names. If you think you're going to Johnny Murphy's factory and you turn up and it says Johnny O'Shea, that's a bit of a giveaway. That's not Johnny Murphy's factory. They'll even change the names as you walk in. We found one factory where they were changing the nameplates. The other trick we found out, because a lot of them are fronts, they're sales agents pretending to own a factory. And their mate might own a factory.
Real entrepreneurial stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, very entrepreneurial. Yeah, yeah. So one of the tricks he also said to me was, as we would sit around and discuss our prototype and what we'd like to do, was to ask them, and they'd be nodding wisely and saying, yes, we'll do this for you, we'll do that for you. One trick was to ask to meet their engineer. And if they couldn't produce an engineer, we knew that they were just a sales agent.
Yes.
We caught one company out with this, and we said, that's fine. Look, we'll come back tomorrow to meet your engineer, and we never heard from them again. They've been using somebody else's factory to pretend it was theirs. We also had legal representation in China, so we have very strong contracts. So,
did you find it easier to get a lawyer in China?
No, because again, Wallace, running an electronics company, had all this on hand.
Yeah, right.
And again, because I wouldn't have known where to start.
Yeah.
And actually, another funny story.
And you had no Chinese.
No. And I turned up one time to meet the lawyer, and Wallace was in Taiwan, and he was a day late. And I had the address of the lawyer, but I Googled it, thinking I had the right one. And let's say there's Murphy and Murphy, two lawyer firms. I turned up with the wrong Murphy, with my business card and all, to meet them. And they were perplexed. Like, no. And there's usually a reception who speaks English. She says, we've no appointment for you. And I said, no, you do, look. And she says, look to the card, because Chinese card. She says, no, that's the other Murphy's there down the road.
That could easily happen.
It could. So
you know, I'd say the South Mall in Cork has more than two people with the same name.
Yeah. So I did. I got to the right law. And they've been our lawyers ever since. So once we found a manufacturer, we then redesigned the product. And that's what you see today, except now we've finished that contract and we're moving on to a new contract with our new designs.
And tell me, is that why, when I met you first, the first thing you ever asked me to do for you, which I nearly fell off the chair, I've said this many times before, was to write you a patent application for China. Is that back experience of that other company that never did protect its intellectual property?
Oh yeah.
Is that what informs your being scrupulous about your own intellectual property?
Everything is as protected as it can be.
Yeah.
You have to. I'm next week collecting the new patents, the new FCC, the new CE marks, all done in China on our new product. And even although we will be copied eventually, at least we have protection on what we've tried to do.
So, going back to the beginning, it all began on an aeroplane.
Coming out of Saudi Arabia desperately wanting a beer.
Wonderful. That's things start. That's one. Thank you very much, Trevor. That's wonderful. That's answered a whole lot of curiosity.
Our pleasure. Right.